chapter 3, and of course, this has to do with, as Kevin was talking about, the judgment seat of Christ. And I've been talking the last couple weeks about suffering. And so this is another part of that suffering. I want you to notice in verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall what? Suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. I believe that at the judgment seat of Christ is where the believer is going to shed some tears. I believe that that's where they're going to suffer. That suffering. They're going to suffer loss. And we've talked about suffering in the flesh. We've talked about pain and being under a burden about things and being frustrated by and aggravated by the demoniac forces that are around us, and that's physical suffering. This suffering has to do with you looking at what you could have had and you didn't. It'd be like I was thinking about this, ever who somebody in Georgia bought that lottery ticket. What was it, $200 and some million? Did you hear about that? One ticket. And they told the place where the place that one ticket was sold had all the right numbers in the Powerball, and it was $200 and some million that one ticket was worth. Well, let's say you bought that ticket and you put it in your bill and you forgot to check it, and you carried that thing around and carried it around, and the time run out for you to collect that. One day you was happening, you looked at that thing and you looked at that ticket and you found that ticket and you thought, oh, I forgot my lottery ticket. I forgot to check that thing. And you found out that that was the winning ticket for $200 and some million. You reckon you'd suffer? Huh? I mean, you pick up the phone, it's a bill collector. Somebody knocking on the door, when you gonna make that car payment? And there's your lottery ticket. I'd say you'd be suffering, wouldn't you? You know there's going to be multitudes and multitudes of people that are in the body of Christ, and they're going to stand before the Lord, and their life is going to be, so to speak, given account to God, and they're going to see what they could have had, and then they're going to see what they got. And the Bible says they're going to suffer. Suffer loss. Therefore, knowing the terror, something terrifying about standing before the Lord. Now, I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians and look in 2 Corinthians chapter. Just turn 1 Corinthians a page down there, because we'll probably be coming back. We're going to be using these two passages of Scripture. But notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, we realize, and Brother Kevin brought out about our works and everything, and I know that I believe that your walk after you're saved, I believe it ought to be a walk that is honoring to the Lord. Now, let me say this. My standing in Christ will never change. My standing before God in Christ, I'm in Christ, my standing will never change. I'll never be judged for my sins. My sins was judged at Calvary. Jesus Christ died, paid for my sins. My standing in Christ, I stand perfect. I stand in true holiness. I stand righteous in, not my righteousness, but His righteousness in Christ. I am holy in Christ. I am righteous in Christ. I am justified. The word justified is just as I've never sinned. In Christ, I'm holy. Without holiness, no man shall see God. In Christ, all of my standing, whatever I am to God, I have it in Christ. That'll never change. You understand? But my state, it can change. My state, my life that I live, it can change. And when that changes, that has to do with my service for the Lord. We serve the Lord. That's your state. Your state is a state of servant. Serving the Lord. That can change. You might get to the place where you quit serving the Lord. You might get to the place where you stop believing. But your standing will stay the same. Your service is what can change. That's your state. That's your everyday life. Now your state, it should always be a heart's desire to have good works. If you're saved today and you don't desire to have good works, I'd check up. I believe, I'm still old-fashioned enough to believe that when somebody gets saved, there's a mental attitude change that takes place in their life. I believe they begin to desire and want something for the Lord instead of just for themselves. Amen. I mean, look at this thing with you. Now notice, he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he said, wherefore we labor. There's our state. It's a state of labor. State of service. Wherefore, verse 9, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Our service. Our labor. That's right. Turn over to Colossians. In Colossians. And notice in Colossians, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 24. In Colossians 3, 24. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye what? Serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of person. Verse 12. 24, for ye serve the Lord. Turn to Romans and look in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Now people that get that are saved, they might get to the place where they don't. But deep down inside, they want to serve the Lord. And they might listen, and they might get in a situation where that they don't. But I believe they have a desire to. Look in Romans chapter 12. Notice in verse 11. Not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit. Watch them next three words. Serving the Lord. When you stand before the judgment, you're going to stand there as a servant. And your service to the Lord is what you're going to give account to. Alright? Any questions? Now, your deeds, you ought to want to do good works. Let me give you a couple of passages. Look in Titus. In Titus, notice in Titus, there's several that I could give you, but look in chapter 2, verse 14, a reference to Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purifying to himself a peculiar people. What's zealous of what? Zealous of good works. Look down chapter 3, verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Come over to verse 8. This is a faithful saying, in these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. They see your good works. They recognize something about you. And you ought to maintain as a Christian good works. Look in verse 14. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. I mean, it's over and over. We're in Ephesians. Let me read that one. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2. And you'll notice in verse 8 it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, your salvation. Not of works, your salvation. Lest any man should boast. Can't boast about that. Can't say God saved me because I went to Charity Bible Church. Nope, that won't hold water. God saved me because I give a lot of money. Nope, nope, don't hold water. God saved me because I'm good. No, He didn't. I'll never forget riding coming out of Lebanon, Missouri. I was riding, and I had Brother Moore's tapes on when I was driving long distance. My driving partner, we changed in Lebanon, and I would drive back about eight, nine hours into right before you get into Tennessee into Kentucky. But we change out in Lebanon. And so we got ready to change out, and I went into the sleeper, and I woke up and I heard Brother Moore's tape going. And he was going like a house of fire, preaching on salvation. My partner, driving partner, he was lost. Man, wicked man. I talked to him sometime and I told him, I left them tapes up there. I said, just listen to them if you want to. Don't bother me a bit. It did, but it didn't. I mean, you know, it'd wake me up. You know how it is when you hear and sit there and listen, try to go back to sleep. But anyway, I woke up and Brother Moore's, I mean, he was on salvation heavy, man. And so the time we switch out again, and I got up and he was sitting over in the driver's seat, and I could tell something was wrong. And he looked at me and he said, Brian, would God save somebody like me? And I looked at him and I said, Smitty, you're the only kind God will save. And as far as I know, the man trusted Christ as his Savior. He had that testimony that he did. And he came here a few times, and a year or so after that he died. What am I saying? Your salvation is not works. God saves sinners. God don't save you because you're good. God don't save you because of what you do. God saves you on the basis of what His Son did for you in dying for you, and you trusting His Son. Good works. Look what he said. Not of works, verse 9, lest any man should boast. Now what? Here's my verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It's God's will that you have good works. Now, let me just give you some things. You don't have to turn to these verses because I probably ain't going to give you, but just you walk. A believer walks in newness of life. Newness of life has to do with as though he is resurrected. Our walk is not after the flesh. After the in Romans chapter 8 verse 4, we walk not after the flesh. What is walking? Trying to keep the commandments to gain what Christ has already gained for you. Our walk, we're to walk honestly. In Romans chapter 13 verse 13, we're to walk worthy of the calling wherewith we're called. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1. We're not to walk as other Gentiles walk. Ephesians 4, 17. You're not to walk like other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds and everything. Why? You are to walk maintaining good works that honor the Lord. As a servant, we're to walk in love toward them that are without and toward each other. Ephesians 5, 2. We're to walk as children of light. Ephesians 5, 8. Light has to do with knowledge. We're to walk circumspectly. Ephesians 5, 15. We're to walk worthy of the Lord. Colossians 1, 10. And we're to walk in wisdom as a believer. Colossians 4, 5. That's how you're to walk. It's laid out for you to maintain good works. Now, I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 1. Now we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty. Now, folks, you ought to do them things. People say, well, I'm saved and live any old way. No, you can't and get by. God don't... Listen to me. If you closed your Bible and never opened it, you never darted the doors of a church, you can do it. God ain't going to stop you. He won't. But neither will you stop Him for setting fire to what you could have had. Now look in Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. So you got something going on inside you. And that something going on inside you is a work, and it's being performed by the Lord. Look in chapter 2. In chapter 2, Philippians 2. He says there, verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And that's working out your own salvation. The salvation's already in there and you're working it out. Well, you've got to do something to do that. He says, verse there, 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God is working in you. He's performing a work in you. And He wants that work to be worked out of you. Now, you know what you're going to be judged? Now, like I say, the works, we know that's the service. But do you know what the one work is going to determine whether you are silver, whether you are gold? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians, back in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Notice verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Where are the things done at? Now I know when you're all in bodies, and whatever you do it in a body. But there's a work that's going on inside your body. That's the greatest work of all. And how that work is being carried out inside you is whether that's what determines how much good works you're going to have outside. Am I making sense? There's something that's got to motivate you. The reason why it's so hard to keep people interested in the church, in the service of the Lord, there's nothing growing inside them like it ought to be growing. What is it? Well, let's look at some things. He says they're in the body. Well, what's in your body? What's that work that's in there? Well, turn with me to Ephesians. Back in Ephesians. God's performing a work. God did something when you trusted Christ as your Savior. All right, notice in Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversations of the old man. Well, I got the old man up here. Alright? Now you know who he is. That's the old man you was. That's your old flesh, we call it. That's the man that's before you got saved. Now look what he said. That you put off concerning the former conversations the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which after God is what? Created in righteousness and true holiness. Then I got a new man over here that's created in righteousness and holiness. We're created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. Turn with me and look in Colossians. In Colossians, notice in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 8, but now ye also put off all these. You know, it's amazing to me that Paul even had to write to Christians and tell them stop doing some things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Well, them things that he listed is the old man's deeds. That's what comes natural to him. You know what comes natural to you? Tell a lie. Now tell me something. Isn't it easier to tell a lie to get out of a tight spot than to tell the truth knowing you're going to get in more trouble? Say, well, we don't do that. No, I said it's easier. That's what you'd like to do. I've had people say, if I believe like you believe, I'd go rob a bank. Well, them nuts, they'd go rob a bank anyway if they wasn't afraid of getting caught. That's the only thing that keeps them from the prison. That old man has filthy communications. He's got lustful, deceitful lust. But look in verse 10 now. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now, you've got a new man inside you. And notice what he said in verse 10. It's renewed in what? Knowledge. Turn back to and look in 2 Corinthians again. And notice in chapter 4. How often is this new man renewed? Well, look in chapter 4. Do you realize that there's going to be people that's going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and they never, ever, their new man that they God gave and started to work in them, created in them, and they're standing, it's in Christ, is holiness and righteousness, but they never came to the knowledge of the truth, and all of their work is up in smoke. Now, I'm going to show you that just for a moment. Look at what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He said there in verse 16, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed," what? "Day by day." This new man is renewed day by day. He's, Colossians 3:10 says, is renewed in what? Knowledge. Where do you get knowledge at? Out of the book. And it's got to be rightly divided. And if it's not rightly divided, you can know the Bible from cover to cover, but if you don't rightly divide the Word of God, it does not renew the new man. And that new man will not grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was Paul's desire, that people would know some things. Look in Philippians. Oh, while we're here, let me just go on and look in verse 17. He said in verse, "There is our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen." Well, what things are seen, Paul? Your body. "But at the things which are not seen," that inward man. "For the things which are seen are temporal," body. Your body's temporal. "But the things which are not seen are eternal," the new man. And folks, that new man, there's some of you hadn't even cultivated, there's some of you hadn't even concerned yourself with your new man and him growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord, and you're still like the Corinthians, you're babes in Christ desiring the milk instead of the meat of the Word. And people choke on it. It's amazing to me. People think that God is pleased just because they do certain things in the flesh, and the saddest, most of the church services going on right now is nothing more than but the satisfying of the lust of the flesh and glorying in the flesh. And the new man is not being fed. The new man is not being admonished and growed and coming into the unity of the faith. Look at this thing about. Turn back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 again. Notice what he says. Now he says there in verse 7, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. Now he that planteth, he that watereth are one. And by the way, the planting of the seed and the watering of the Word, is both of them is one. The Word, that's the seed and that's the water. Then he goes on, he said, "Every man shall receive of his own reward according to his own labor." And folks, I believe that a part of that labor has to do with me building up myself and me growing and me, my inward man, being concerned with my inward man that God put in there instead of so much being concerned with the outward man. Then he goes on, he talks about verse 11, "For the foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus." Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be... And you notice it don't say, it says every man's work, singular. Don't say works. Don't say deeds. He said the work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is, not how much, what kind it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. The fire is going to burn up all the other stuff. You ever think about the wood, hay, stubble? You know what wood is? You look at wood, it's a dead tree. You look at hay, it's dead grass. You look at stubble, it's dead wheat. And you know what's dead about you? Where is your eternal life at? Your old flesh is dead. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. I'm dead with Christ. I've died with Christ. If you've been baptized, you were baptized into His death. What we do, the things we do for our old man is not what's going to give us a reward. It's what we do for the inward man that's going to get you the reward. What have you done for your inward man? Now let's look at things. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. You know there's going to be multitudes of people that's going to stand before the Lord. And they give, they prayed, they was faithful, never missed a service. But they never done anything for their inward man. You see that passage before we look in Ephesians, turn to 2 Timothy. You remember back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he said the gold and the silver and the precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. You see, that wood, hay, stubble has to do with this fella right over here. This fella right over here, that's all he knows. Deadness. Dead. This man over here, the gold, the silver, the precious stones, spiritual. Spirituality, spirit. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. In the body of Christ, there's neither male nor female. We're all one in Him. It's a spiritual body. Look at me again in 2 Timothy. Notice what he says in verse there. He's talking about in verse 16, shun profane, vain babblings. Their word will eat, death doeth a canker. Come down to verse 18, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already. They didn't deny the resurrection, they just misplaced it. They just said it's done come. They didn't say it wasn't one. They didn't follow 2 Timothy 2:15, if you please. But the point is, this is false doctrine. Now look what he says in verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Iniquity in the context would have to be, it would have to do with the canker, the gangrene of false doctrine. I mean, folks, you can believe parts of this Bible and it's iniquity to you. Don't you understand that? It can be an idolatrous thing. If I got up here and told you that the only way you can get to heaven is to repent and be baptized in water for the remission of sin, I lied to you. And if you believe me and you went to that baptistry to get your sins washed away, that's iniquity. Paul said, depart. Now look what he said in verse 20. But in a great house there are only not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If any man will therefore purge himself from these, well, what's these? In the context is false doctrine. These, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. He'll be useful and profitable for the Lord if he stays away from the false doctrine. He'll be a vessel of gold and of silver, honor. But if he doesn't concern himself with his spirituality, with his inward man, and that inward man growing in the likeness of the Lord and doing the serving the Lord through the inward man, he will end up a vessel of dishonor at the judgment seat of Christ. Is that what you want? Look what he says. Now look over in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to be closing. He said in verse 11, he gave some apostles. And these are gifts. Do you know God gave a gift to you? You know what that gift is? You're a member of the body of Christ. He gave pastors and teachers. I'm a gift to you. These men that teach are gifts unto you. Look what he said, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. In other words, the saints get perfected, they do the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. Now that word perfecting is the same word for mending in Matthew 4:21. It's bringing together, it's mending the net back together. Do you know the body of Christ is divided today? You know what's divided the body of Christ today? This old man over here. I mean, you've got so many denominations, people say, well, who's right and who's not? Each one says they're right. Well, I want to tell you who's right. It's who gets in alignment with this book, rightly divided, and follows the Apostle Paul, the Apostle to the Gentiles, and all the rest is wrong. You say, well, you who you think you are? I'm nobody, but I know who my Apostle is, and I know where the doctrine to the body of Christ comes from, and it came from the Lord through the Apostle Paul. And just as God told the children of Israel, you follow what Moses said. God said, if you're going to follow me in the day of grace, you follow what Paul said. And Paul builds the new man up with knowledge. Where do I renew it? Day by day. In the epistles of the Paul. Now look at this thing. He gave all of that, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Then this new man's desire is to be, in verse 13 now, unity of the faith. You know what unity is? You know what the Bible says in, over there in Amos? How can two walk together except they be agreed? Folks, the reason why the body of Christ today is so divided, there's no unity. I had a man tell me one, he said, God don't want everybody to believe the same thing. Why would God want you to believe something different from me? Look back in the Bible, verse 4. There's several bodies, several spirits. You can have whichever one you choose. even as you're called into all kinds of hopes. Is that what that says? He says there's one body, one spirit, even as you're called into one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Well, this unity of the faith, how many are there? One. Would, if there's just one, you can't get no more unity than that. If unity is a word. I mean, folks, that is unity. That's why the Bible says when a man and a woman marry, they become one. There's got to be unity in there. And if there's no unity, then you ain't gonna have no relationship. And he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Look what he says. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Then there's knowledge again. So I got knowing the Lord, knowledge, renewed in what? Knowledge, Colossians 3:10 says. Do you know what God's concerned about you right now? It's what you're doing with that created being He put inside you. That new man that's there. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants this new man to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. But you can't do it if you don't rightly divide the Word of truth. Amen. Unto the perfect what? Man. Now look what he says down in verse 14. Why does he want you to be the perfect man? That we henceforth be no more what? Children. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You know there's people out there just laying them to the side so they can get you. They'd like to have you. And they'll do anything to get you. I'm telling you, there's preachers who are just like politicians. You know, politicians got two goals. One to get elected, and the second one is to stay elected. And they'll promise you the world and everything else in between. Preachers are like that. Not all. Thank God I had to throw that in there. I wouldn't want you to think Robbie was like his daddy. No, I'm not. Folks, I'm more interested in you becoming a full-grown child of God that's not tossed to and fro. You know something? I've got so much confidence in you. But you know this book, that it doesn't bother me. Anybody could come up here. I've had a man. He's talking about, come preach on baptism. Why, man, bring it on. Come on up here. Be glad you to come up here and preach on it as long as you want. You say, wouldn't that worry you about getting your people confused? If what they can say about it confuses you, then I hadn't done my job. I don't worry about the majority of it. Why? I feel like you have a strong inward man. Now let me close with this. He said, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which he is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Do you know what your work is that's going to determine you a vessel of honor? And that every man's work, of what sort it is, when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and see what you are, really. Have you become a full-grown son? Are you what the Lord wants you to be inward? Forget the outward. If your inward is right, the outward will take care of itself. What's inside you? What's your desire? What's your knowledge about this? Do you know there's people that go to church and they don't know anything about the unity? They don't even know what the faith is. What is the faith? It's that body of doctrine that Paul was delivered to Paul that he wrote down in Romans through Philemon. I've asked people, I'd say, that's been to church all their life, what's the gospel? I've had them to say, well, there's four of them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Do you know what the faith is? It's the Word of God. Yes, it's the Word of God, but where is it at in the Word of God? Well, it's all of it. No, it ain't. The faith ain't nowhere but in Paul's. I've had folks, that's people that are, maybe they've been saved, but they have no knowledge. They're not renewing their inward man in knowledge day by day. They're not a man. They're a child, still a babe in Christ, and they're still carnal. That's why Paul said, one saith, I'm a Paul, another of I'm Cephas, and another I'm Christ. He said, are you not carnal? Because you're divided, and is the body of Christ today, it's carnal because, look at it. Walls of denominations everywhere. Splits and schisms and everything else. Thank God for Charity Bible Church. If I didn't have a church to go to like this, I'd stay at home. Amen. Well, go out and get them, folks.